Welcome to another edition of the Stack Supplement Podcast, and this is another interview edition with the one and only Jim Stoppani, who I have been a follower and fan of since Jim debuted back in, I'm going to say 2013, but I might be off by that. I'm going to say 2013.
It was 2013 when we launched.
Yeah, there we go. With the legendary pre-Jim that genuinely set the transparent standard, I think, and as we've seen continue. And so, yeah, it's fantastic to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Shane. Pleasure to be here.
So, yeah, we're here to talk about the Jim bar, or the Jim protein bar, which you guys dived into a year or two ago with, one of the most unique competitors I'd seen for, again, fitting with the macros. I prefer high protein and low carb, which is what you'd expect with the category of protein bar.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what is a protein bar if it's, if you're eating more carbs than protein? The whole concept of a protein bar is to get as much protein as you can while limiting your carbohydrate and fat intake. Again, depending on the person and their goals. But when we're talking about our space, the fitness space, most people are interested in getting in the protein and minimizing the carbohydrates. As well as the fat, particularly the carbohydrates, even more so than the fat, which is why we launched the original Jim bar a few years ago, which was 20 grams of protein, only 6 grams of total carbs, complete total carbs in the entire bar.
Yeah.
Only three grams of net carbs, but 18 grams of fat. So, with bars, it's a whole different strategy and you have different limitations than when you're making a protein powder. It's easy to get 24 grams of protein with minimal carbs and fat in a powder that you're then mixing to a liquid. But with a bar, all that material has to be held together. It has to be in a nice texture. It can't be too dry. It can't be too soft. And so, I called this the impossible bar because there's basically almost no carbs here holding that protein together. However, you need something to hold the protein together, and that was the fat. So it has 18 grams of fat, which is unless you're doing extremely low carb and you're not minding your fat. For a lot of people, that fat intake, the 18 grams is a bit too much for them for fitting in their macros. And the other issue was because it's so low in total carbohydrate, it's a bit on the dry side, some people complained about. And again, like you and I, I thought this bar was magical because of those macros.
100%.
As you said. And the taste, despite all that, the taste was pretty damn amazing. You know what I mean? Given those macros. However, COVID came along, right? We launched this right around COVID. Okay. And, the supplier had manpower issues. They had issues running the machines and, gym supplement science and my philosophies are a bit different than most other supplement brands. I have standards that I absolutely will not ignore. And that is with the protein is isolates. So I only will use isolates because again, we're talking about maximizing protein intake, minimizing carb intake. And when we're talking about isolates, like whey protein isolate, we know that you get less lactose with the isolate than you do with the concentrate. So when we were running these bars, we were the first brand to come along and demand an isolate, which they weren't set up to do. You need the extra carbs, that lactose in there when you're making the coating and whatnot. So this bar was very hard for the manufacturer to run. It caused numerous problems. And then we weren't able to get the coating in the isolate form. So we had to nix this bar, unfortunately. But again, like I said, a lot of people complained about the fat content. So fast forward to 2024. And we now have the new version of the Jim bar in chocolate chip cookie dough and in chocolate. A coconut. Now the macros are much different than the original. The other issue with this bar was we launched this in like July, okay, and then we had to ship these bars, okay. Now, even Amazon in the summer they limit there's certain chocolates that they will not ship because they do not arrive in an acceptable form. When many of the consumers got these bars, it was literally like liquid.
I was one of them, but it wasn't that it was liquid. It was that I got it and I remember picking one up and I'm like, oh, this is a tapered bar. Like it started really small and then got really big. And then I was like, I opened it up and I was like, oh shit, all the chocolate had slid down to one.
Yes, yes.
It wasn't liquid. It had hardened again, but some of them turned out good. Like a lot of them turned out good. It was just the one on top that I was like, oh damn.
Yes.
This one got hot.
Yes. And so once they get hot, it ruins the texture. It ruins the experience. Yeah. It's a very delicate bar. You know, it's not, you can't throw this in your pocket. You can't even throw this in your backpack without it, you know, melting, getting deformed. And then that texture is just not the same. It's just not the same. So we moved on. And now we've got the new gym bar. Again, completely different macros. Again, still using the isolates for the protein, but now we're looking at 16 grams of protein, only 4 to 5 grams of fat per bar. And then on the net carbs, we're only looking at about 4 to 5 grams of net. And I say 4 to 5 and because it depends on, there's a little more fat in the coconut, like a gram more in the coconut than there is. But again, very low carb, net carb. Now, if you look on the wrapper, right, the total carbs are around 20 something. What is it? 23 grams of carbs. 13 grams of that is fiber. And there we're talking about polydextrose and inulin. And a lot of people don't really understand what polydextrose is. And you know, polydextrose has gotten a sort of a bad rap because it is man-made, right? So all the polydextrose is glucose units that have been bound together, right, to form basically a starch. But those bonds of the glucose cannot be broken down by the enzymes in the small intestine. So it passes through the intestines without being absorbed. Now, a lot of people, like I said, will tell you that's a negative thing. But when you look at the research on polydextrose, it's a soluble fiber and it's a prebiotic. And in fact, what the research shows is that as little as like 5 grams of polydextrose will increase the growth of good bacteria, mainly your Bifidus and your Lactobacillus. And so it actually improves gut health, believe it or not, and increases the production of short-chain fatty acids like butyrate, propionic acid, et cetera. So with the polydextrose, it's actually, you know, in my opinion, a positive ingredient to be using because of the prebiotic effect that you get. Now, one of the issues is that it can cause gas because a prebiotic gets fermented by the good bacteria in your colon. But, you know, for most people, you're talking about anywhere from 20 or more grams of polydextrose. Whereas with the gym bar, you're only getting anywhere from about 6 to 8, depending on the bar, about 6 to 8 grams of polydextrose. So you're under that area where it's going to cause a lot of flatulence, any stomach issues, but you're in the zone where it's going to provide a actually beneficial prebiotic effect.
I was going to ask, because like the original is a very unique format. Like I've tried a lot of protein bars. I would say that original one was a little more like what you get in a couple of the Eastern European regions where at least there's consistency and stuff. And same goes with this one. I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, yeah. Some people like it to like a Butterfinger almost.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, do you, because I know when guys create functional foods, sometimes the form comes before the function. So they're like, oh, I like the look of this bar. You know, I'm going to make it to fit the macros that, you know, whatever the best it can be. Was yours sort of like macros first? And then you were like, hey, however this turns out, I want to make the best, but the macros and the nutrition need to be what I need it to be type thing. Was that sort of the case?
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, for me, you know, I have standards. I won't use anything but protein isolates. So trying to find a bar manufacturer that can run isolates is a challenge on its own. And, you know, the original bar was macros first and then sort of form last, you know, which is, you know, you get kind of a drier bar without the carbs. So, and like I said, we had issues with it melting, with it holding up and whatnot. So with this bar, we sort of went in with both the macros and, and the, you know, the form. I mean, look at this thing. This, you know, if you look at this on a wrapper, a lot of people will go, well, it's, isn't that just a Quest bar? Like, you find me a Quest bar.
No, because the Quest bars don't bend.
That's this, you know, like, look at this is, this is like the softest bar you'll look at that, you know, that you'll find. It's absolutely amazing. So we wanted something that would be, obviously, the macros hold, you know, and you know, the other the amazing thing about this bar is these are 150 calories per bar, 150 calories. So, you know, I really want to focus on that point because what these, you know, it's 16 grams of protein. So do you want to be eating this as your post-workout protein? No, I wouldn't. Maybe you, sure. You get two of these,
two
you
of
get 32 grams of protein. But where this really fits in is, you know, you're, if you're macro conscious and you're counting your calories, you're counting your macros and you want a snack, right? That's not going to blow.
Yeah.
150 calories. This could almost fit with anyone's macros. And that, you know, that's the amazing thing. And like I said, it's absolutely amazing. Softness, the taste, and even the coconut one. It's not, I love coconut personally, but a lot of people who don't like coconut who've tried this are blown away because it's not coconut forward. It's more chocolate with the coconut. Then on the cookie dough, what I have in here is, again, it's soft, but there's pea protein crisps, chocolate crisps in here. So you're getting this texture of the softness of that bar, but you're also getting the crunch from those pea protein inclusions in there. So you're getting this crisp with the softness, which is a completely different experience from the coconut one, which is very, very soft. You get the nice crispness there. So what I was trying to do was really make something that's a treat, you know, like a true treat, something that you're going to look forward to. You know, I get a sweet tooth sort of in the end of the day. And with all the activity I do, it's typically not a problem for me. Sorry, I'm still chewing.
No, that's all good.
On the bar, but you know, what I found is since we have the bars now at night, instead of reaching for, like, you know, a piece of regular chocolate, Reese's peanut butter cup or something like that, you know, I'm reaching for these. It's satisfying my cravings. It's not adding all the sugar. It's not adding all the fat, you know, and I'm getting, you know, an extra boost of 16 grams of protein. So again, to sort of long wind answer your question, you know, I went in this one as, you know, look, the macros need to add up. But the bar needs to be able to travel. It needs to remain soft, you know, enjoyable, delicious. And it can't cause stomach issues. So, and the original bar, we basically had almost no sugar alcohols. If you look on the macros of this bar, it says five grams of sugar alcohols, but 4 grams of that is glycerol. So, which, you know, is now labeled as a sugar alcohol, but it doesn't act like a typical sugar alcohol, you know, with the stomach issues of, like, you know, like a sorbitol or something. So even though there's some sugar alcohols in this bar, there's really, it's really mainly glycerin. So you're not going to get the stomach issues that you would with a bar that has 5 or more grams of typical sugar alcohols.
I feel like this bar has more legs in terms of flavors. Like, obviously, one of the key parts of any functional food is drastically expanding the number of tastes you have to choose from. Like, the Quest bar, obviously, is God knows how many they have now.
Endless.
But,
endless.
Like, your original one, I felt like was very, like, it didn't really have many other places it could go. Like,
yeah, where could, you know that, what I mean? Like, yes.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, it was peanut butter inside, chocolate outside, whereas this one, the first two flavors are drastically different. You got coconut and chocolate in one.
Yes.
Cookie dough.
And we do have a peanut butter chocolate coming as well. So.
Yeah, I feel like it opens you up to, like,
agreed.
As it
agreed.
Grows, you could easily add more, and it would, like, you know, it would, you wouldn't be limited on trying to fit in with, like the original, which had to have.
Yeah, the original, right? You know, the original with the high fat. You know, something like a peanut butter is going to go well because it's already, you know,
yeah,
a fat source, you know, but like, what if we wanted to try to do like a chocolate raspberry?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it
wasn't going to work.
It's not going to work. Whereas with this, you know, we could do all, it's the flavor options are limitless.
I think the calorie count is pretty impressive because even though it obviously the bar may have 20 grams, 25, 15, whatever it may be, like the calorie is always a huge factor for anyone. Like if it has 20 grams of protein and 300 calories, it's out. Like,
right, but if it's got, for a lot of people,
lower protein, but the calories there opens you up to even more. So I think the calorie is arguably the more important part when people go fishing for protein snacks, and being under 200 calories is a huge rarity.
It's tough to find a bar that's, you know, that's under 200. And
yeah.
And actually tastes like a candy bar.
Yeah. Was the calorie sort of like, cause like you said, you designed it. Cause if you designed the first one, function first, and this one, a little bit of a balance, but then your calories ended up being what they were. Was that sort of part of the goal, or were you just like, hey,
yeah, that was definitely part of that format. That was one of the major goals, because we really listened to, you know, 50% of the people loved this bar, loved it, are begging for it again. But the other 50% had issues with it. And so we really listened carefully to what those issues were for the other 50%. And yeah. You know, one of them was the, you know, this is a 250 calorie bar. Okay. For most people, not so bad. But like I said, what are most people looking for when they're reaching for a bar? Something that they can fit in to their already stringent diet. You know what I'm saying? If they weren't following a stringent diet where they had limitations, go grab a Snickers bar, enjoy yourself. You know what I mean? And call it a day, right? That's not the customer we're looking for. You know, or the customer that we're making the bars for. We're making bars for the people that are reaching for bars because there's a reason. And so once you're getting in the 250 range and 18 grams of fat, that cancels this bar for a lot of people, you know? And so that's why we went into this one with really wanting to create a very low calorie option for people that gave them protein. It was a great snack that they could feel good about. It's not going to blow their macros. It's not going to blow their calories for the day. And it's not going to cause stomach issues.
Did you, because I commend the approach of having the non 20 grams of protein, because for a while there, like brands were just, it's 20 grams of protein per bar or, you know, get out of town type thing.
Right.
Kind of like 25 grams of protein and protein powders. Was that sort of, and I've seen this with a few other functional companies, that they sort of adjust the taste and maybe they have to sacrifice a gram or a few of protein. Was that sort of the case here and how you got to the 16? Or was
Definitely. You know, we could have cranked up to 20 grams of protein, but then the texture would be completely different. Yeah. We again sacrifice some of the protein, but again, you're getting 16 grams of protein here. And like I said, you know,
150.
Would I choose this as my post-workout protein snack? I mean, if I have two, sure, you know, you could do that. But again, the real, you know, what is the real purpose of a bar? You know, it's to be able to, like I said, either have something on the go that's, you know, going to be a nice, easy snack, hits your macros, protein forward, right? Low carb, low fat, and low calories. So that was really one of the major check, you know, marks that we wanted to get checked off, you know, right around that 100. It has to be under 200 calories. So that, like you said, we're not limiting those people who are, you know, like I said, what are most people looking for in a bar? And like you said, protein is critical, but instead of like making this a 25 gram protein bar and calling out, look, this is the highest protein bar. Sure. It doesn't taste so great. You know, this one, it's 16 grams of protein, not the highest protein bar you can get, but I dare you to find a bar that tastes better, stays soft, you know, travels well.
I feel that balance though was probably like pretty damn good. Cause if you were to scale, I'm just going to use my calculator here. If you were to scale that 16 grams up to 20 grams, that would still keep you in the realm of 190 calories. Even if you were to sort of, you know, justify it by like, if you were to have 20 grams worth of this, which like I said, it's a ridiculously tough number to beat most 200 to 220, and that's sitting below it.
Again, the other issue, sorry to cut you off with that, getting in an extra 4 or 5 grams of protein is now all the texture. Like I said, it's not like throwing protein in a jug, a powder that you're doing, and then mix in fluid. This all has to, you know, this is, you know, if you will, like this is its delivery system, right? And so, you know, when you add 5 extra grams of protein, the softness is now going to be affected. You know what I mean? The flavor, the taste, that texture, that, you know, it's not just bumping up the calories, but it's now throwing off that balance of carbohydrate. Again, this is a very low net carbohydrate, but with the polydextrose, with the inulin, with the glycerin, you've got that moisture that the bar needs. You know what I mean? The bar needs that moisture to maintain that softness, yet still be, you know, portable and not either melt.
On the go,
You'll get rock hard like a lot of other bars, you know? You know, a lot of bars that are the same sort of style of bar, you sit there on the shelf for 6 months, it's like a rock, you know what I mean? This one doesn't do that.
Classic advertisement where you can bang it on the desk and it sounds
like a brick. Yeah. This one doesn't do that. It literally maintains that softness.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, the thing I was going to say is I just still remember one of the most, I guess, function first bars was from a meal prep company, and it was a piece of meat. It was a steak bar. It was entirely a steak bar, and like the macros were like protein powder-esque. It was 20 grams at like 90 calories or something.
Right.
It was ridiculous, but my God, like, look, I'm a function first dude as much as the next guy, but like there was something just off about unwrapping a piece of meat and like having to sit there and chew this dry, warm thing.
Right.
Like just,
yeah, no,
like, I want function first, but
I'm with you.
Gotta,
you know, you know, I grew up weightlifting in the, you know, 80s. So protein powders in the 80s were quite different than what you get to experience today. And in fact, I could remember many nights mixing up a protein drink and thinking to myself, there's got to be a better way. You know, there's got to be a better tasting protein powder. And so I'm glad that, you know, today I can, you know, put some of those out there for people to enjoy, you know. But yeah, I agree. I'm a function first guy, but some of those, you know, like the meat bars and whatnot,
too much function. Like when you can, when dried chicken breast is a better alternative, something's a bit funky there, right?
Yeah, like, and you know, I mean, some of us are, you know, are robots, machines. A lot of bodybuilders are, but that's a small percentage of the customer base. You know, they want things that taste good.
I mean, probably going back a few steps here, but obviously when you took on the protein bar category, it had been around for a while. Like, it's, like you said, Quest, probably one of the longer running, most known ones. But what was the inspiration or decision? Because Jim has been around, or had been around at that time for 6 or 7 years before it sort of jumped into it. And you had hit arguably every major category: protein, pre-workout, post-workout, weight loss, testosterone boosting. Like, what was it that made you to decide this now needs to be a part? Was it sort of
It's the it's what the customers, you know, like I said, we listen to our consumer base, and it's what they're requesting. And that was the number one request, was a bar. Now, again, it took me some time because I'm a perfectionist. I'm not just making this. That's what they asked for. Okay, I'll give you a bar. I'm making it for myself. For, you know, let's be honest. Every product I make, I literally am making for myself. So it, you know, it has to fit my standards so that I'm using it every day. And like I said, you know, I have limitations on the isolates. My, you know, the macros have to line up, and it's got to taste, you know, it has to taste good.
Yeah.
So it takes me longer than most brands. You know, a lot of brands don't have, you know, the owner or the CEO is not the guy for also formulating the products, is not, you know, the face and voice of the brand. But I'm all those things. So it takes me a bit slower. And I have a team. When I say me, you know, it's we doing this, but it's slower for us because, you know, I have those standards that I, you know, won't back down on. You know, that's why, you know, this bar was retired, what, 2-3 years ago. You know, you would think that we would just automatically roll out with a new bar, but again, finding something that, you know, held up, tasted good, had the right macros, it's a long process. And like I said, I'm a perfectionist, so it takes us much longer than most other brands.
Well, on that topic, I got one more question, and I don't know if you're going to answer it. It's entirely up to you whether you answer it. And it leads on, because obviously, like you said, you got into protein bars because there was demand from the audience. And I think that it was, like, it has become more common for a guy or a brand that sells pre-workouts and protein powders to also give fans some way to protein on the go, if that makes sense. Right. So right now, and I know you guys have mentioned this, obviously the energy drink space has been calling the gym name. And with it, like, again, I know that, like you said, you're a perfectionist, and I think that the first we heard of this was a few months ago, so it might still be 3 years in the making. But I figured I would ask, was there anything that, like, that you wanted to sort of say, like, or kind of, I guess, confirm, like, obviously the energy category has been around for decades. It's taken a whole new shape with sports nutrition guys bringing in their expertise. Is this something that you feel that you can do with that, like you said, with the gym style, that we're going to see on what I'm assuming is still very much under development?
For sure. And again, it gets back to what the consumers are asking. And after bars, the next thing that they're asking for, the, you know, biggest ask we get is an energy drink. And not, you know, pre-gym, not, you know, you know, a ready like to drink, you know,
general every day.
We'll walk into a 7-Eleven, bang,
yes,
you know, grab that. Ghost has one, C4. Like you said, that space has really changed from, you know, the Red Bulls and the Monsters to sports nutrition with, you know, some real ingredients being added to, you know, real nutrients being added. You can see alpha GPC being added now, you know, carnitine, et cetera, branched-chain amino acids, how much. But again, you know, that has really changed. And so... Yeah, we've been working on an energy drink, and we have a really great one, but you know, I'm, you know, how do I put this? I'm, you know, energy drinks are, you know, that's a business in its own, you know what I mean? Like,
So,
you know, for our team, you know, we're really focused on sports nutrition. Right. And so to really have a successful energy drink, there's a lot on distribution, you know, that's really a whole, it doesn't matter how good the energy drink is. It could be amazing. Right. But if you don't have the proper distribution,
it's a waste of time.
It really is a waste of time. And to get that distribution, you have to give away a lot of cans or bottles of your energy. In fact, you know, we're in Vitamin Shop, and every weekend they have, I think, a dollar energy drink weekend where you can go in and get any of their energy drinks for a dollar. So, you know, those brands are losing massive amounts of, it's not Vitamin Shop that's losing the money. It's those brands are basically giving away those cans, for those dollar weekends. And, you know, again, like I said, I'm less of a businessman, and you know, my business partner, Mike McElhane, you know, he's another exercise science guy like me. So we're really, you know, we're really more focused on providing people, you know, tools that work, you know, solutions. And again, people are asking for that energy drink. We have a great one. We think would steer a lot of people away from other ones for this one. But until we can really sort of hammer out all those details on the distribution, et cetera, that's where we are with that. The formula is 99% done on the gym energy drink. It's really just the sort of that business aspect of the distribution and how do we play that game, you know, and the other thing is, unlike a lot of other brands, we don't have investors, you know, we don't have a big investment firm that's funneling us cash, you know? So, you know, we're only using the cash that we get from the business directly. That's, you know, we don't have any investors. So, are we able to put that much money forward into that energy drink category to, like you said, to make it worthwhile? You know, that's what we're trying to figure out.
Oh, I could, like, I know guys that I had talked to someone a couple of weeks back, and he said, until you're doing tens of millions, it's almost not much point doing it.
Yeah.
It was just like the distribution and volume you have to do is just crazy. And like, so it has that appeal where, like, when you see someone doing well, it might look cool, but they might actually not
be doing exactly. Because, you know, like I said, there's those dollar, you know, those dollar drink weekends at Vitamin Shop. There's the going out to all the little fitness and bodybuilding shows and literally just giving away free cans of your energy drink to get people to try it.
I've seen it.
So, you know, a lot of times you see on social media these energy drink companies that have just come up and they look like, oh, wow, they must be making, you know, buku bucks and with that energy drink, but you don't know what the expense is that's gotten them there. They may not even have broken even yet.
I mean, you definitely touched on some interesting points about your one. I don't know where I saw it. Was it, might have been Mike, it might have been you, someone mentioned energy drink in gym. And there was like a quote or something. And I was like, oh, dude, what the hell would Jim do if he did an energy drink? And it ran in my brain. I was like, I've seen him do, you know, post gym. You split the carbs and the actives, like, and you put it in one box. Like, you did the protein bar with like powdered peanut butter in the center and chocolate on the outside. I was like, and I couldn't think of anything. So I was like, I just really want to see how this turns out. And like sports nutrition guys, that's the best part about brands of this industry, is that they bring so much to the table without even trying, almost like their walks of life, their expertise, their ingredients, maybe there's a component that they like specifically and they're just going to put it in there because they like it. That just brings so much life to a category,
yes,
as we've seen with energy drinks. So I'm looking forward to it. whenever that time it is, I'm right. going to be waiting to see how it turns out. Yeah, so the gym protein bar, it's coming out. It's coming out soon, right? It's not now.
We're officially launching it this Friday.
Okay.
It'll be available at gymsups.com, but I believe you can actually go online at GNC right now and purchase them.
Oh, I did not know that. Well, yeah. Since this won't be going live and for another few days at least. I might have tried it between now and then, so we'll see. But no, thank you for stopping in, answering all the questions.
And thank you. I appreciate the invite.
No, awesome. And yeah, I'm guessing I'll have you back on when the energy drink rolls out.
for sure, you can get if we do the energy drink.
When you get there.
We'll definitely be back.